off one of the greatest Christmas albums ever, recorded not long before. I mean, she was very sick. Amazing that she was able to record what she did. If you haven't heard, I'll put up a link. Amazing. Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Johnny D standing by. Good morning, Johnny.
Stevie, how are you?
I'm in rare spirits. I'm in good spirits. I thoroughly enjoyed the weekend, and I can see the finish line from here for the year. I'm always in the same frame of mind when we get to be around right around here. We're looking forward to a little bit of a break for the end of the year, but not unhappy about it.
Well, if you're in a rare mood, I would say I'm in a medium rare mood. not quite as rare as you.
I'm actually a medium. I'm usually a little past medium. I usually like medium, almost medium well. Typically, I'm not a big steak eater.
You know, it's amazing. We both have so many things to be grateful for, and we look back on this year, and in each case, we both had some health issues that we probably have. I know you've never dealt with anything like that.
No.
I haven't really in the same year. I've had surgeries before, but not two of them in the same year. So I guess, you know, on that front, we could say this year was a little challenging, but overall, we got it pretty good, you know?
Yeah, I had no argument from me. I haven't fully digested the whole circumstance, and I'm still adjusting to the new glasses. It hasn't been easy, but in the general scheme of things, it's not a health issue that, you know, is super threatening. Although I will tell you this, much like being left-handed is already a bit of a risk in society, which is designed for right-handed people. I can tell you that from a driving standpoint, I do feel slightly impaired, to be honest. That's the one side effect of this that, as well as reading, you know, close up work, that is still a little taking some getting used to.
Well, you have time. You have time
That's
to get
true.
Used to it. And I'm always amazed by, you know, you see these videos, whether it's on television or on online somewhere, you see the amazing things that people do. And I look at these people and I say, man is an incredible animal. He really is. He can be the most miserable, rotten human being in the world, or they can do such amazing, incredible things that you wonder if you see someone in a tough situation and they overcome it, not only overcome it, but they blossom through it. And you think to yourself, man, I don't know. If I was in that situation, I don't think I'd be able to blossom. And, you know, but it's just amazing the things that people can accomplish. So I guess, you know, what we have to struggle through, we'll get through. We'll figure out a way, and we'll make it work.
Exactly. And isn't that a perfect segue to struggling through and making it work?
unfortunately, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Cracked up the wife and I last night. She's in the kitchen doing some holiday cooking, getting things ready for next week or week after. And like, you know how they have those little news flashes that come on? They just give you the weather, like a brief little weather thing, and then they give you a highlight from the news. Tune in at 11 for all the details or whatever. Just one of those hits. Well, one comes on, and the guy says, we'll talk about the Eagles' impressive win. And from the kitchen, she said, what? We'll talk about the Eagles' impressive win. I said, did he watch the game? Did anybody tell him what happened in the game? That was an impressive win. And these last two games are the true definition of winning ugly.
I will say this. It was entertaining as can be yesterday. It had no shortage of thrills and spills. And you're going to laugh. At no point did I think they weren't winning. I got to tell you, I just kept shrugging it off. And Tina had to do a thing at school. They were doing Little Shop of Horrors. And so Tina, with her student council kids, they were selling popcorn and drinks and all that stuff, concessions. And so she, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, she had to go to school. So she was texting me, what's the score? How are they doing? And then when she came in, she said, what's going on? Are they ahead? I said, no, they just fell behind. I said, but that's all right. They're not losing. And so I never doubted.
You are that type of fan. I will give you credit.
You are not that type of fan. You are terrible, and I'm not giving you back your Eagles fan card until you show more faith.
Well, the picture of the Christmas tree in front of the framed
Wentz jersey.
Should it's an Eagle. I don't know how to describe it. Actually, it is a silver Christmas tree, a small one, not a giant one, but good size, 4 feet tall, and it has Eagles ribbon and Eagles ornaments on the Christmas tree, and it was a Christmas gift from a longtime listener who I've gotten to know from appearances on this show, and also for my work with ExpressBet, my weekly columns that are on the ExpressBet website, a listener who's you have become friendly with and met on several occasions at the big races. And this is a Christmas gift, and I took a picture of it and sent it to you because I wanted to get my card back, my Eagles fan card. I was a little hard on them, and you pulled my card.
Well, as I will continue, I will consider. But you were inches away from restoration, and I checked in with Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman, and the three of us. If the three of us are involved, you're getting it for Hanukkah, not back for Christmas. I don't know. You sent a text yesterday. I should publish it.
I mentioned, I don't know. Was it my defensive tech? Was that the one?
There was a few. You were deriding the entire squad. I mean, I have a text from you that says Wentz blows.
No, that's not me.
That was Will.
That was Will. Yeah, that was not me.
Well, Will's finished.
he just lost himself in that one moment. But anyway, he's going to have to fight to get his card back. I think the one that I like the best. I've had a few good ones, but the one I like best was where I said there we've had the purple people eaters. We've had the fearsome foursome. We've had the steel curtain. And this year in Philly, we have the Keystone Cops. That's our defense. I know. But I'm one of those fans that I'm a Philly fan. You know, I go sour quickly. I know how to boo, and I use it liberally.
Well, all right.
So wait. The Eagles defense made the rookie quarterback Haskins look like Joe Montana, and a 50-year-old running back look like Adrian Peterson. Of course, that was Adrian Peterson, but he's a little older now.
That was. Well,
I will one to go. We got one to go.
You got 60 minutes. You gotta, and granted, they're obviously operating on about 5 cylinders out of 8. But
These injuries have really hurt. You know, they've hurt Carson Wentz. They've hurt the offense. But I don't know what the excuse is for the defense either, because that Washington squad is not supposed to be able to get that last touchdown. There was a point right then where that was the point to win the game. Forget about coming back, you know, and scoring with little time in the clock. That was the point to stop them. That was when all your concentration, that was it right then. And they didn't do it. And that was really disappointing. That they won the game is fine. But that they couldn't come up with a stop at the exact moment when they really needed it, that's a problem. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about us and the Eagles, you know. Or I guess a few people do.
No, they enjoy it. They and you know, it's a thing. I mean, we get 16 opportunities like this every year, and 1 year we got 19 opportunities, and even if that's the only time we'll ever get 19 opportunities, it's fine by me. It's all right. Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Pegasus situation before we talk any racing results and get some wagering successes that you've been celebrating recently. Thoughts about the way the Pegasus changes are being affected, and it really feels like Belinda is going to try to proliferate the medication initiatives and so forth. And I know some people, Johnny, are probably saying, well, it's just $3 million and it's not as grandiose. But frankly, an authentic $3 million purse to me is more authentic than the kind of weird, phony, trumped up, previous versions.
Yeah, well, the previous version, you know, it was an attempt to do something different. And it probably didn't pan out exactly the way it was planned. You have to give it credit because it attracted the top racehorse in the United States for whatever the 3 or 4 years that it ran. It attracted the top horse in the country on his way out, on his way to retirement. So we got one more race, and we got California Chrome one more time. He didn't win the race, but we got him one more time. So the theory behind it was great because it established, a big kickoff event in the new year, which, I think the structure was the problem. And maybe the, okay, so they tried it. It probably didn't work. It didn't work, whatever. So now we're going to shift gears. Starting off with the medication, the medication can be argued back and forth by people, but perhaps this is the direction we need to go in. Perhaps this is where, I don't know, this can be argued. There are people coming down different sides of this issue, but they have adopted the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities guidelines, and let's see. Maybe this is where we end up 20 years from now? I don't know. I hope I'm around to see it. But I don't know. Something, certainly, we need to do something in this sports. This is a move in a direction that appears to be a good direction. It may work out to be the best thing that's ever been done. The drop in purse for the race, we've already heard Maximum Security Connections, his owner in particular, say, well, we're going to go to Saudi Arabia instead to race for $20 million instead of $3 million. Excuse me. Well, I get it. If one's 20, one's 3, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure it out. I do know that Maximum Security began his career at Gulfstream Park. He won 4 races at Gulfstream Park. He loves the racetrack. His trainer is there. You know, there are a lot of reasons to take that $3 million and say thank you. But if you'd rather go for 20 in Saudi Arabia with all that that entails, go get it. It's your horse. You can do what you want. I do think that this new structure has a better chance of being a better race for the fan, for the horse players, for the fan. Because if the big guys say, well, if the biggest guys say, we're going for the $20 million or we're going to go to Dubai instead of racing the Pegasus, you know, that's fine. There are plenty of horses just below that level, and we might get more of them. So it may become a more interesting race. And certainly from a wagering standpoint, it could become a much better race. In past years, it's kind of been, you know, you've got a heavy favorite, and then you had to kind of figure out who was going to run second, third, and fourth, or, you know, however you want to play the race. Under this structure, you might see 8, 9, 10, maybe 12 in there. You know, guys will take some shots, especially because the fees are gone now. The Stronach Group is putting up the $4 million, the $3 million for the mile and eighth dirt race, and the $1 million for the mile and 3/16 turf race. They're putting that money up themselves. So,
well,
it may be a better race, really.
Yeah, well, we should note that the horsemen will have to approve that purse distribution.
Well, you know, that's always the case. The horsemen have final say on almost everything you do in racing at a racetrack, which a lot of people don't know. But the horsemen really do have a lot of control over what happens, which, you know, it should be a cooperative operation between the racetrack who puts on the show and the horsemen who have the players that, you know, the NFL league and the Players Association, you know, or in this case, the owners own the players, which they did before Curb Flood. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. I don't think we lost a whole lot, other than we're not guaranteed to get the best horse in training every year like we did before. But other than that, it could turn out to be a more interesting race. It's a great day. The supporting races have been fabulous in the past. I believe they've had a force out of the
Rainbow,
or at least they planned to have a force out of the Rainbow Six on those days, like they do on Derby Day, on Florida Derby Day. So that is another contributing factor to a big day. You've got, you know, the place is packed with stars and they've got entertainment, and this could make it a deeper race, a more exciting race, not a slam dunk for the best horse in the country. So let's see what happens. There's a lot more to be looked at, but I don't. What is the downside of it?
I will say that the downside, but a side effect. We'll see. You know, the Lasix consideration, considering that most of these horses, most of the horses that you know would point for this and be available to run, are going to be older horses. Are going to be horses that are obviously 4, 5, and 6, and from that standpoint, they're horses that invariably have been running on Lasix much of their careers. So, you know, in some cases, it's a question of, you know, making a determination. It's not necessarily going to be, you know, 95 degrees and humid and you know, an added burden to run without Lasix for the horses at the end of January in South Florida, but it is a consideration. I will say one thing: it could make this more competitive because let's be honest, the three runnings have been uncompetitive.
Well, that was my point.
Exactly.
It'd be much better race. Yeah,
because you've had. I'm just looking here. Arrogate won by 5. Shaman Ghost was second, actually at 20-1, and was 3.5 clear of Neolithic. Gunrunner won by 2.5. West Coast second by another 10.75 back to Gunavera. And then City of Light won by 5.75 last year or earlier this year, was Seeking the Soul second, 1.5 back to Accelerate, and then 4.75 back to Bravazo. So you've had blowout, not just blowout winners, but you've even had runner ups clear of the rest of the field. So they haven't been all that engaging. Accelerate did go favored last year, but of course Gunrunner was favored, as was Arrogate. And you have had big prices invade. I just mentioned Shaman Ghost at 20-1. Neolithic was 23-1, and Keen Ice was fourth at 16-1. You had 75-1 Fear the Cowboy fourth 2 years ago. Gunavera was 13-1 third, and last year, this year, Seeking the Soul 34-1 second.
Yeah, you might see a much more competitive race. And your point about the Lasix and medication, and it's all that's a hurdle that because we are using medication currently. That's a hurdle because horses have been on it and they've got to be, you know, taken off it. And how many of our older horses can compete without Lasix, without medication? That's a challenging part. But I think, you know, we've got to try something. We've got to do something different and something bold. And this may be the move that makes people realize, hey, maybe we can do this. Maybe we can match the rest of the world in the regard of no Lasix or, you know, less drugs in our racehorses. It's worth a try, and I think it's a bold move, and nothing good gets done without a bold move. So status quo is not going to get it. This is a stance, and you know, like I said, maybe 20 years from now we'll look back on this and say, "Hey, how about that? That was the first time that we tried it, and it works pretty well." And here we are.
Given the two alternatives for you know later in the winter. It's sort of ironic, of course, that those potential targets would take horses, Johnny, potentially away from this event, considering that, you know, the Don Handicap, which was the predecessor, was suffering from the same scenario, that, you know, had lost, in some cases, for a certain period of time, it had been a really good stepping stone to Dubai, And then it was even then being bypassed for whatever reason. And so to some degree, it's hard to believe you would run a $3 million race and, you know, and that that it wouldn't be enough to draw the you know, the kinds of horses that you'd want or expect.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen this happen. I mean, the race in my, you know, near and dear to my heart, it was crippled. It is the Santa Anita Handicap.
Right.
It was crippled by Dubai and other. The place on the calendar, and it had been in its spot for a long time. Times change, you know, things change, and we have to be ready to change. And the fact that 3 million doesn't buy what 3 million used to buy, and that's a good point. But you know, at the same time, it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of money for everyone else. So there are other horses and other owners, trainers, who would be really happy, elated, to get a piece of that $3 million and to be able to run for $3 million. And those are the people that I'm happy for. And this makes me, yeah, okay, let's do this and let's see how it goes. Let's have 10 or 12 line up. Horses who never would get the run for $3 million. All the big guns want to go to Dubai and they want to go to Saudi Arabia. Well, that's fine. I understand that. No hard feelings. 20 million to 3 million. I get it. 20 is bigger than 3. I understand. Go get it. But in the meantime, the guys that show up for the 3 are going to be really happy to be there. And that, you know, look, spread it around a little. I'm all for that.
Well, we'll watch. And I just got a question on Twitter about ticket pricing. And according to the press release, tickets start at $49 for Pegasus Day, which will be January 25th. And of course, there'll also be the contest as well. And I'm sure we've got plenty of time to publicize that. Johnny, let's dive in to some of the weekend action, see what you played, see what some Express Bet players were able to hit. And I suppose we've only got two opportunities to mention it. Going to get out in front. Let's also remind people that it's not far away from Beat the Host time.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up Beat the Host, because I definitely wanted to talk about that today. I wanted to remind everyone, Beat the Host will begin on Saturday, January 4th. You can play each Saturday in January and February. Register once at expressbet.com. Registration is free. You register once, you can play all 9 weeks. You can play 3 weeks or 1 week, whatever you want. Play whenever you want. And this year we have, let me outline the play for you. We have 10 races. You make a $5 win wager on one horse in each of the 10 races. And you will be competing against the host. Each week we have a different host. Planning on having you for about, what is that, week 6 or week 7? I think it's week 7 or week 6. And so the object is to beat the host with your total from $5 win wagers on one horse in each of 10 races. And then you're also playing against fellow competitors. So if you beat the host, you're all automatically qualified for the Beat the Host Championship. And that championship round is March 7th. So if you beat the host, you're already in. Then you can concentrate on beating your fellow players each week, $2,000 in weekly prizes. We've got the top, we got a $3,000 sweep the host bonus. If you sweep the host in all 8 weeks, you get a $3,000 bonus. New this year, we added a new wrinkle this year. I think you'll like this, Steve. we're going to keep cumulative seasonal earnings. So in other words, if the more weeks you play, obviously the more money you should be able to earn. So it's best to play every week. And we've got prizes for the championship round. We've got $5,000 to the winner in the championship round, which beat the host once. You qualify for the championship round. Also, we have the cumulative prizes. Finish first in the cumulative seasonal prize for $5,000. And both sets of those prizes go down to fourth, which is $1,000. Excuse me. Also, in the championship round, anyone who finishes in the top 30 automatically qualifies for entry into the $30,000 Express Bet Showdown. That's a $200 value each. So we've got $1,000 first prize on a weekly basis. We've got a $5,000 championship first prize. We've got a $5,000 cumulative seasonal prize. And the top 30 in the championship round automatically qualify for free entry to Express Bet Showdown. So there's stuff going on short term. You want to beat the host. You want to outscore the rest of the players. There's stuff going on cumulative throughout the season. You want to earn the most money you can by playing each week throughout the season. And then you want to finish in the top four to earn prizes in the championship round, or top four in the cumulative earnings. And then you want to finish in the top 30 in the championship round so that you can qualify for a seat in Express Bet Showdown. So lots of ways to win. We've kind of tweaked it a little bit this year. It's basically the same, though. We've gone from 8 races to 10 races. We've kept the wager amount the same, $5 to win. Oh, and then the kicker of all this is no entry fee, no registration fee. You say, well, it's going to cost me $5 on 10 races. It's going to cost me $50 to play. Yes, but those are live wagers. If you cash a couple races, maybe one race, you're going to pay for your entire day's play. So that's kind of the goal. Beat the host. You can take a shot every week and actually make money playing, even if you don't, you know, have too many winners. It's there are many ways to win and beat the host. I think it's one of the best things we do. It's 9 weeks this year instead of 8 because of the way the calendar falls. 4 in January, 4 Saturdays in January, 5 Saturdays in February. We've got Jeremy Plonk, our expert to kick it off, Millie Ball, John White, Jeff Siegel, Steve Bick, Ron Nicoletti, Tom Quigley, Acacia Courtney, and Eddie Olchek to round things out on February 29th. So if you're not doing anything this winter, play Beat the Host. And if you are doing something this winter, cancel it and play Beat the Host.
Nice. Nice. Always fun. Looking forward to it. And invariably, I'm in Vegas for this, and it's the same weekend as NHC. I think that's happened like 4 of the last 5 years. So I'm guessing.
Well, we can move you if you want to move, but that's actually not a bad weekend.
No. I'm looking anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're looking, right? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Not a problem.
So, as I like to say, kill two birds with one rock.
Yeah, exactly. I could say something. I won't. Johnny, a couple of quick hits. I started the show because I'm still kind of smarting from Saturday, just the ticket structure and budget issue. Because I really felt like I left $4,000 on the table on Saturday with the pick five.
You and me and both. You and me both.
Who did you? Pink Sands?
No, I am totally embarrassed by who I left out, and for a reason it's not particularly evident. It was a big price horse, War Story, 27-20. And I don't, I mean, okay, if I'd gone a little deeper, I would have used them. Oh, what's crazy, what's madness is, I'm alive to that point, and I say to myself, okay, I've got a couple of horses in here, but I don't feel real strong about this race. Who might beat me? So I turn around, and I make a win bet on War Story. So I pay for my free roll. I get a free roll. I pay for the, not a free roll, but I pay for my pick six ticket and more by winning with War Story. But my ticket, my Rainbow Six ticket is then dead. I win the last race, but 5 out of 6 is as good as 0 out of 6. But War Story, I could kick myself because Imaginary Stable is a great guy. Great guy, just a fabulous guy who grew up in South Philly about 10 blocks from where I grew up. And I've got to meet John and spend time with him in the Express Bet Suite at Gulfstream Park. He's Imaginary Stable. Elizabeth Dobla's trains maybe all of his horses now from what it looks like. And I'm so happy for him. After the race, I was so happy for John, and I know it had to be a great moment for him. He's only been in the business maybe 6 years, 7 years, but he jumped in a big way. A lot of claiming horses. He got involved, and then he gradually grew stable. He's always had a piece of War Story. You remember Looch? Looch was in with Glenn Ellis and John on War Story. So I was happy. I was mad because I'm out of my pick six. I'm kicking myself. You idiot. How do you not put John's horse in? And then I say, well, you made up for it because you bet him to win. Oh, what a maddening game this is, Steve.
I know. And I went the minute the Pink Sands rushed to the front. I was kind of kicking myself, and I knew, you know, I could see it in slow motion, but I don't know. I keep that budget in mind when I put the tickets together, and the budget is usually 70, you know, 72. In this case, it was 75 because I knew, Johnny, that both that Fort Lauderdale and the Harlan's Holiday were both a little squirrely, and so I went 5 by 5 there. And I just was a little miffed. I mean, I went 3 deep. I went 3 deep in the race. I forget which stake it was. The Rampart, maybe the Rampart. I went 3 deep, and Pink Sands was my fourth horse, and I would have needed to have spent $100 on both those tickets instead of 75. So I hate kind of rethinking it like that, because it's just it's a silly way to reevaluate.
It's frustrating. It really is. But I'll tell you what, you know, as you often say, and I think I pulled this word from you as it refers to sequences. This was an approachable sequence.
Yep.
You know, because you had some opinions. You had you were talking about the pick five, I think, weren't you?
Both pick five and pick four. They were the same ticket with a single.
Pick five and pick four.
Well, yeah, the Mitchell Road. I mean, when you get a chance,
right,
oh my
right.
God, it was a she was a free square.
Yeah. and in the pick six, Ladies Island in the previous race, 860 was haveable. So I looked at the six and I thought, yeah, this is. You know, this is, as Steve would say, this is approachable. But I missed War Story. But and Stillregard was haveable. It's one of those things when it's over and you look back, you say, man, I could have had that thing. In fact, it was so approachable that one of our Express Bet players knocked it out on a $27 ticket.
Nice. Nice.
Got back $7,238. Ticket structure, one, which was Ladies Island at 860, by one, Mitchell Road, the free space we just talked about. Buy three to get Pink Sands at $11. Buy five to get In Silver Guard at $860, which makes sense. That was a challenging race. And then nine to get War Story. And then one in the last. So, you know, it shows you the power of the singles. Singles are so powerful.
Wait a minute. They singled the winner in the nightcap?
Unless this is a misprint, or maybe it was all. I can't tell. No, I think it's a single. I think my point exactly was the winner in the nightcap, right? Well,
wow.
It was a crazy race, though, right?
It's a crazy race. I mean, if they ran that race another 99 times, my point exactly might lose every one of them. It was impossible that my point exactly had the nose on the wire when they hit. I mean, it looked absolutely like a beaten horse coming to the wire.
You know, we talk about these tickets in the last couple of weeks, and I was laughing because after I hung up last week, we talked about when you and Hammer were on from Arizona, and we talked about ticket structure, we talked about handicapping, and I laughed when I hung up. I said, we left out one of the most critical factors in all of horseplay and all of gambling ever, any kind of gambling, sports gambling, whatever, luck. You got to get lucky. It's got to be your
day.
You got to do the work. You got to do the work. You got to put in the time. You got to construct the ticket. You got to handicap. You got to do all. You have a budget. You got to do all those things correctly, and then you got to get lucky.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what. It's there was one of the pick sixes that I hit in my gambling career. It was roughly 40,000 at Santa Anita. And I remember a race. It was down the downhill turf course. And got there by a zop. I mean, a zop. It was so close. Midway on the through the ticket. But, you know, that horse was like 8-9 to 1. The favorite was second. Mike Mitchell trained the second horse. Which gives you Paco Gonzalez trained the winner, who's not training anymore. Mike Mitchell trained the second place finisher, and unfortunately, Mike's not with us anymore. So that was how long ago that was. But and we were running over the downhill turf course, which we don't do anymore. But you got to get lucky. It's just my buddy. Right after the Eagles game, he sent me a text because he had the Eagles -6.5. And the fumble that they picked up and rambled into the end zone the final play, he said, I don't think I've ever won like that before. I know I've been beaten like that about 20 times. I don't think I've ever won like that before.
I know.
You got to get lucky.
Yeah. Exactly.
We had one other... Well, actually, two other tickets. We had a ticket at Los Alamitos quarter horse races that, you know, had that big night last night. Oh,
both
I got
to
say this.
Saturday and Sunday.
Both. I got to say this, though. Eddie Burkhart retiring. You know, I got to know Eddie when I was in California. And his time pretty much mirrored my time, close to it. I think I first met him in 79 or 80. And I'll tell you what, dedicated, reliable, good guy, loved the game, loved to bet the races, loved the management, cared about racing. Just, you know, and I used to kid him because we'd be racing at Hollywood Park in the afternoon, and I'd see him there, and I'd say, Eddie, you better get going. They can't open the doors of that joint that Los Alamitos joint, unless you're there, you must have all the keys to that place by now. Because he was absolutely, talking about being a fixture and identifiable, Eddie certainly is with Los Alamitos. And I know he's not totally retired. He's going to continue to do the morning line, but he's leaving Los Alamitos. And seriously, I hope he leaves the keys behind so they can get that place open.
Nice. I'm glad you appreciate you adding that. I enjoyed. It's funny. We went into the weekend with a retiree, and we come out of the weekend with a retiree. De Silva today, and Burgard on Friday.
Oh, how interesting was De Silva today with his plans for the future?
Yeah. Yeah. Really cool.
You don't hear that very often. It's not a bad idea. It's actually a good idea, but it's convincing other people that they need it, that it's a good idea. You know, probably what they said to the first person who said, I'm going to be an analyst. What do you mean you're going to be a psychoanalyst? What do you mean you're going to analyze people? Who needs that? What are you talking about? who's going to come sit on your couch and listen to you?
Exactly.
But it may, you know, professional athletes in other sports really do rely on coaches and advisors competition coaches. I don't even know what the word is for them. But jockeys go through so many phases of their career, and the winning's easy. As Eurico said, it's the losing that can ruin you. But you know what else? The winning can ruin you too if it comes too easy and too early. So everything, you really got to, I don't think a rider hits his peak until after 30. And the reason I say that is because there are so many aspects to not just riding the horse, the actual physical competition of riding the horse. That's one thing. But the dealing with owners, dealing with trainers, what to say, how to say it, how to be diplomatic but get your point across. Those are very subtle, you know, work ethic. How to handle defeat, how to handle a losing streak. By the time you're in your 30s, if you're a jockey and you've had some success, you ought to be hitting your peak. You ought to be, you know, have learned what you need to know about how to deal with these things away from the, forget about the actual competition, which certainly there's development there as a rider. But in the business side of it, in the mental side of it, how to prepare, diet. So many jockeys fight their weight, their entire careers. And when do you... I've seen jockeys retire, and you think, you know, they fought their weight their whole career. You think they're going to blow up and be 150 pounds. And you ask them, they say, well, you know, I'm actually not too far from where I was when I rode. Why? How's that possible? Well, I'm eating right now. Oh, so when you were a kid, you weren't paying attention, but now you are. So I think it's a great idea, and I hope people avail themselves of his service.
That's why I asked him. But he's already got clients. He's obviously already, you know, cultivated the following. A fascinating guy, and I'm thrilled that I made it clear. I felt bad that I was only getting to him now at the end of his career. but we learned a lot, including how to say Merry Christmas in Portuguese. That was I thought that he made me laugh. Felice, you know, which is Felice Navidad, but and then Bon Natal, which is Italian, Merry Christmas. And so yeah. Portuguese appropriated it from from both. Felice Natal.
I just don't know any Portuguese people I could spring that on.
That, you got to go look. There's got to be a little. There's got to be a little Portugal somewhere in Philadelphia.
Oh,
guaranteed.
I'm sure there is. Gail told me about a Russian neighborhood that she stopped into. You know, on her as a salesperson, she goes out often, and it was like it was a Russian enclave. She said all the signs were in Russian. I said, well, you've seen the Italian neighborhood. Why wouldn't there be a Russian neighborhood?
In a city that size. And it's funny, in Montreal, I remember I didn't know where the Portuguese neighborhood was until Brazil won that World Cup in the mid 90s, whatever year that was, 94 maybe, and or 96, I can't remember. And when erupted into the streets, and there was like a 4 or 5 block neighborhood toward the east end, I think east of Saint Laurent, and it turned out that it's a big Portuguese Brazilian enclave. Same thing. I didn't know either. It was pretty funny, but they were out in the streets and carrying on. There's nothing like World Cup when you in Montreal, because there's literally neighborhoods of every possible imagined nationality somewhere in and around Montreal. And during the qualifying, I remember on a Sunday, I went to a sports bar, Johnny. I'm going to forget the name of the sports bar. It's 3 stories. And we were on the second floor to watch football. And on the third floor, there was a World Cup qualifier. Ecuador, I want to say Ecuador and Chile. And the stomping and the cheering and the carrying on, you couldn't, from up above, they're stomping on the floor. And it was crazy. I remember that. I was going to see an Eagle game, and all I remember, and then when they won, when whoever won, they came spilling out, down the stairs and out into the street and stopped traffic. Pretty fun.
Well, now you know where. Now, when you want a good Portuguese meal, you know where to go.
Well, and of course, the closest we've got in Newark, the Ironbound section of Newark, when you want Portuguese, when you want to go, that's where you head in and around the New York metropolitan area, and also up in Provincetown, Massachusetts, up on the Cape. Big Portuguese population. I'm just
these
a wealth
you
of
learn listening to
And if you've never had a Portuguese roll, is shaped like a lemon. Like if you looked at a lemon from above, that's the shape of a Portuguese roll out of this world. French bread and Italian bread, they get all the
headline
hype. Yeah, but a Portuguese roll with linguiça. You ever have linguiça?
No.
Linguiça, Portuguese spicy sausage.
It's on my list.
There you go. Don't go anywhere without saying you've tried linguiça. Johnny, this was tremendous as always. Next week, you better be ready for some Santa Anita handicapping, because they draw the card on Saturday, and our last show of the season next Monday.
All right, Stevie, stay tuned. And we'll talk to you in a week.
You got it. Johnny D, everybody. And I'll put up a picture at this time of year. We always put up that picture of Johnny, of Johnny's Christmas tree. Gail, actually. this is one of our favorite traditions. Johnny D.
And we may not have to speak about the Eagles at all.
No. We'll see. I think we will. Taking a break. Back after this, Georgina Baxter is going to join us. And that theme from last week continued again this weekend. We're also going to talk to Aubrey Green. And Aubrey Green, you heard Chad Schexnader on Friday mentioned the rider of the actual, you know, the eventual winner of the Champions Day Classic, pound for pound. And Aubrey Green, biggest win of her career. We're going to talk to her. And a lot of people delighted and excited for Aubrey Green with that win. The internet went crazy for Aubrey. So we're going to talk to her and Georgina here in the next half hour, 45 minutes, give or take. Georgina Baxter next, though, at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
From the graveyard keeps murmuring death. Too much time hobbles thoughts and heads. Now I'm compelled to care about my future going nowhere. As I stand here all alone in the cold, wondering where I'm going to. Keeps
they're as the name implies, from Glasgow, Las Vegas. I really like this. I think we played this. I think we played this when we did the Christmas show with Pete, if I'm not mistaken. We will play the Christmas show on Christmas Eve on the 24th, and then it'll replay on Christmas morning too. So, and that's got selections from both Pete and I. We go back and forth, and we play sets of offbeat Christmas music. Right now, we're, as you can tell, I'm kind of vamping because we're waiting for either Georgina Baxter or Aubrey Green, and it's Aubrey Green, the lucky recipient, the lucky winner. But she wasn't lucky on Saturday, late afternoon at Fairgrounds, pound for pound, and Chad Schexnader.